Welcome to the My Crazy Office Podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Katherine Crowley. They are committed to helping you navigate the hardest part of any job, the people. And now, here are Kathy and Katherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Katherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we want to welcome back Mike Fine, who we think is hysterical. He's a comedian and a writer. This is his second time back. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're up to. How can people find out about you?
People could find me at MikeFineComedy.com, and I'm performing all over now. This weekend I'm going to be at Stand Up New York, then next week going to be at Caroline's, and I have some nice writing jobs coming up. So
nice.
Staying busy.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's really
great.
And
you also said you're making an album, right?
Yes, making a comedy album. It should be out hopefully by the end of the summer. I'm keeping the name on the down low for now, but hopefully you'll have me back when it comes out.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, what, you're covering topics like what? Your love life? And
No, not really at all. I'm going to be just talking about human growth hormones.
Oh.
I'm going to be talking about genetically modified foods.
Oh.
Yeah. Global warming.
Uh-huh.
You know, other
important things.
Yeah.
Really important.
Cheery things. Light things.
Like serious. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of serious stuff.
But, oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just go to our first question, Logan.
My coworkers and I don't know how to handle a problem involving our boss. We never know if we are saying good morning to Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. Every day is an emotional roller coaster ride. He yells at employees at the slightest infraction, even when there are clients in the office. Then he forgets all about it. He never apologizes for his behavior. We've heard him tell clients that his employees are idiots. He will never admit that he has a problem. The problem is everyone else. Even the nice things he does are unpleasant. He'll invite us to lunch for special occasions and dominate the conversation. Mm. It's all about him. We don't know how to say no to this man. Many of us are looking for jobs. Advice?
Yeah, get out. Jeez. Get out. Why would anybody... You know, this is the problem. The longer you work for an abusive boss, the lower your self-esteem goes and the harder it is to get another job.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't feel good about yourself.
Yes.
So get out.
This actually, it seems like the person who's posing this question, it seems like there is something deeper going on, like perhaps maybe there's an inter-office romance with the boss and now it's going to get complicated. Perhaps she or he is no longer the eye of the affection, the apple of the eye of the affection of the boss.
Wow.
And there's some jealousy perhaps that, you know...
So yeah, when
I don't quite see that in this question, but that's a very interesting take, Mike.
Yeah, well, it's just my my own observation.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, also I pose this question: how is it a person is able to be in a abusive relationship and just go along with it, but when it comes to an abusive boss, they complain and just want to run out?
Well, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
I think what's true is that, and that's what's confusing for this individual and for many people when they're dealing with a narcissist, because this is what this is, an angry narcissist, is that they feel that there is, they actually feel like there's something wrong with them, you know, deep underneath it all. So when the guy blows up and yells at them and says they're idiots, there's usually a part of them that thinks that that may be true.
But is there a possibility that the workers are idiots, though?
There is always that possibility. However, comma,
no.
If he's the only one, if he only finds fault with everyone else, then he's got a problem. He's not able to imagine someone else's experience of him.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, he abuses everyone, which just means that, you know, he's not singling out a particular person. See, with people like this, they have this sort of intuitive gut on what's the thing that's going to upset you the most. So they usually go in and find, they're concerned about their looks, and they'll say, oh, you look particularly ugly today. Like, they know how to hit everyone's buttons. And when you lower people's self-esteem like that, chances are they're not going to run away because they don't feel good enough about themselves. They don't feel good enough. They don't feel good to come work for you. But it's the whole thing is an abusive trap. It's awful.
Yeah, but on the flip side, you guys are highlighting all the negatives. What about the positives?
Uh-huh.
He's not sexually harassing the worker. And
I think that's true.
And how many people work in those type of environments or can't work in those type of environments? So I think they should just be content and happy that they even have a job in this economy.
Now, that is what many people tell themselves as well, Mike. So you're posing a really good point. Yeah. As usual.
Maybe he pays well, too.
Well, he may not demand too much of them in terms of production. We don't know. Productivity. So what I would say is true is that it's very scary to leave a job if you don't have the next opportunity available, right?
Everyone says,
and especially if they're idiots, they're not getting another job.
Especially if you're an idiot. So you actually need to join a group. It could be the Association of Idiots, or you go to...
I think that's Congress, U.S. Congress.
Join a networking professional association. You need to do something to get out there and broaden your circles while you're in the situation. And what we also usually talk about is that you've got to basically kind of recover from the damage that you experience day to day with this person.
Yeah, I mean, so in our second book, Working for You Isn't Working for Me, we really cover this whole thing. So if you're really in this kind of a situation, you got to pick up the book. It's pretty intense, and it really will help. I mean, we just got a letter today how much it helps somebody. But in general, I don't understand why somebody would... I mean, the guy, whoever wrote this, says everybody's looking for a job.
Yeah.
Which... usually abusive bosses have 100% turnover every year.
Uh-huh.
Or 95%, you know, maybe somebody sticks around. But, you got to get out. I think we're going to
find your way out.
You have to, you got to figure out how to get out of that.
Maybe raid the office supply closet on the way out.
Well, usually people...
sell it on the street. Yeah. People do steal from somebody like this. They feel so abused. They
do take. Well, justified, because it's sort of like compensation for the abuse.
Right,
You're going to call me an idiot? Well, hell, I'll just take all the highlighters and Sharpies I could fit into my pocket.
Exactly.
It's justified.
That
it
sounds
evens
like
out.
Something you may have experienced in the past situation.
I may steal your clients also on the way out.
Oh, let's put it this way. I haven't had a step into an office, Max, in about 10 years.
Okay, now we know where you got your result on.
I work in comedy clubs, so I take napkins and coasters, and I have a glassware for about 300.
So if we came to you, we'd be drinking out of a comedy club glass.
I just want to say one thing to people who are in this kind of situation, which is that it's really important that you do take care of yourself and you do seek other opportunities. But the other part is, do not hang out. Don't dig your heels in and wait for them to quit or get fired. Sometimes we can get caught in a fantasy that the wrongdoer will be ejected, you know, that justice will be done. So please don't waste your time doing that.
Let's go to the next question, because I'm feeling creepy from this one.
I have an employee who is a good worker, but she's always distracted. When we meet to go over her list of goals and projects, she receives and looks at text constantly. Her cell buzzes, and then she says, sorry, or just a second, or quick client issue. Then she texts back, and we start discussing her work all over again until the next interruption. The result is a fractured meeting where we don't complete things, and I feel totally disrespected. How do I address this situation?
Text her to get off the phone. The next time you're in a meeting with
Send her a selfie. Now, as you're sitting right across from her.
Now, is this girl blonde and is she single? That's what I want to know.
As her employer?
She could be. Why?
No, I'm just very curious. It seems like she's preoccupied getting text, and I'm curious to... who's texting her every 2 seconds. Perhaps it's there's a relationship going on and it's impeding or in fact, imposing on her work environment. So it's
yeah, that's a possibility. But she doesn't have to be blonde in order to be in a relationship. I'm, but
it's know, just for my own visual stimulation. get me more interested in the question. Yeah.
It's also actually a generational issue. We just were working with a group of people where it was very clear that those under, say, 25, 26, IM and text everything all the time to each other and to all their coworkers, right? And they see nothing wrong with looking at a text in the midst of a meeting. They feel like that's part of doing their job. So it seems to me that this employer has to set a boundary, right? Has to say, after they've texted them, get off the phone, that you do something like, I think, Mike, you described a situation earlier. Tell us what happened for you in this situation.
Oh, yeah, well, where every 2 seconds, you'll be sitting with someone, every 2 seconds they'll be getting a text, but the text will last longer than 3 seconds.
Right.
So by the time you speak up and try and say something, it's already down and out of their hands, their phone. So it makes it difficult. But all those occurrences, those add up and it actually makes it more annoying. Do one text, get it out of the way, I understand, but every 2 seconds, it's...
A text really is just another version of sitting next to somebody. So it is
conversation.
It's a very quick conversation. But I think for this boss, you have to say, don't bring your phone in here. We're not going to be using our phone for the next 15 minutes.
Right.
I mean, the boss has the right to do that. So that's, I'm confused by the question.
Well, I think some bosses don't think they do have the right to do that because they think that that's breaking in on the productivity or that they're seeming unhip or something like that.
Oh.
What about spanking? That worked when I was... you mentioned before a 25, 20-year-old. I have the image of a blonde in my head right now. But when I was younger, when I would act out or do something, my dad would put me over his knee and he would spank me. And it worked. So I don't know, perhaps in this case, I don't know what the situation...
Well, you could ground her too, perhaps, right?
Yeah, I like the visual of spanking.
Did he use his hand or did he have like an instrument? Did he have a paddle?
Right, he had an instrument. Tools of destruction, instruments, 45 records, all that,
I think, when you get into spanking, I think we're getting into maybe what can be called sexual harassment. So
right.
You have to be really careful in the workplace. But you can definitely demand no phones, put your phones away, unless it's used as internal communication in a company.
But it may be. I think that's, to your point, you just have to say, not here, not now, not for 15 minutes, no
phones. I don't know about you guys, but when I get a text, I have the sudden urge, I have to look at it.
I don't feel that way.
You don't feel that way, Catherine?
No, but I don't open presents quickly.
Isn't that weird? She doesn't open gifts. If you give Catherine a gift, she puts it aside. And you're like sitting there want to know what she thinks.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. So you don't count in this discussion.
All right,
Logan. When you get a text, don't you feel the need to get it?
It depends on who it's from.
See, he's more selective.
Oh, you're more Catherine.
I'm more like I won't.
Okay.
Really
I have to check it every 2 seconds because it can be my agent telling me that the show I have booked this weekend's canceled, or calling to tell me I have no work.
So you're always looking
for the bad news.
but you know what I have seen? I have seen places where before you go into somewhere, they will...
Yes,
everyone will take their phone. They have to put it into a box.
That's or a basket or something.
Yeah,
that's right.
If you want to hang out with Charlie Sheen for the weekend or Ashton Kutcher while he's still married, the bodyguards confiscate the phones and no phones in the room. And, so that's a good idea if you're going into meetings.
It is a good idea.
Actually,
we went to something the other day and we had to leave our purses downstairs. We weren't allowed.
Yeah.
And they said it was because we don't want any photos. You weren't allowed to take any pictures. You weren't allowed
smart.
To. It was really smart. And it took me a little while to get over it, because it is a crutch.
I was relieved. But you know what's so interesting?
Of course. Thank God they didn't give you a gift.
Yeah, because who the hell's texting you anyway? Seriously. What, some guy you met on Craigslist saying, hey, where's this close encounter? Hey.
No, so Catherine gets 2 texts every day from her dog walker.
That's cute.
So she has to know if Loretta has pooped.
I look at that one.
I knew it.
But here's the thing. We did investigate. I wish I could remember remember the name of the guy who does digital courtesy, teaches courtesy. Remember that fellow who...
He's coming on. He's going to be on soon, right? Mr. Manners? Well,
right, Mr. Manners. Yeah, Mr. Manners. He has a technique where everyone, it's similar to what you mentioned, Mike, everyone puts their phone in the middle of the room or the middle of the table before you start a meeting.
I think that's brilliant. The buzzes are going off.
I love that.
You know what bothers me just as much is that, okay, yeah, the girl may be texting every 2 seconds, but it bothers me even more, like if I'm performing in a club,
right,
they will tell you a million times, turn your phone off.
Right.
99% of the people will turn it off, but you'll have one person. Same thing like on the airplane where they think it doesn't apply to
them.
That's
right. True.
And it's they don't even. It's one
and
thing.
They answer it too, right?
And they're very brazen about it. Like they'll hold it up and text. Like they're not even discreet about
right,
it.
Right. You know, that's true. That's really true. And that's in the movie theater too.
I see that all the time. That's why when that guy shot the guy for texting, I was with the guy that
you were, huh?
Yeah, it's annoying.
It was a little dramatic, don't you think?
Because if you're
what movie was it?
I forget what movie, but the guy was texting in the movie. The guy told him to stop, and he threw popcorn. Long story short, this older guy, retired cop, shot him.
He had a gun on him.
The only negative thing about it was is he ruined it for everyone else. They probably had to clear out the theater.
Oh, sure did.
Yeah, no guns in the theater. Okay, I think we've gotten far away from
No guns at work.
Yeah, no guns at work.
Even if you don't like texting.
Yeah, well, this whole phone thing is really interesting. I mean, I had a client this morning who was telling me that she was texting her coworkers during a meeting the other day. So, you know, and their phones are on silent. I think that some people are really good at texting. They don't even have to look at the letters.
Right.
And they send texts and you don't even know. So we have to get over this distraction, you know, the ability to multitask like that. I think.
Get over it. You mean
stop it.
Stop it.
Stop. Just stop it.
Well, I surmise that in a few years phones are going to be obsolete anyway.
What? We'll have a chip?
No, people, there will be no need for them. People will no longer be communicating. we will become so introverted and so narcissistic and so into ourselves. Any form of communication will be strongly frowned upon.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't even like my cell phone. They say that carrying cell phones in your pocket, like my mom always tells me, don't put it in your pocket because they cause cancer. Mm-hmm. But I always suspected that it's not the phones, it's the people you talk to on the phone that could cause the cancer.
That's so, probably what she meant.
So I suspect in a few years from now, they're gone.
Thanks for that future.
That'll be so interesting.
Psychic reading. Wow. Okay, so that's it. I mean, I think bosses have to set policies. Companies have to set policies about the phone thing. It's and we're working in a lot of companies where, in fact, they are. They're setting policies now on
creating etiquette.
Yeah. So that's it for the segment. Mike, how can people find you again? Your Facebook website?
Facebook, MikeFineComedy.com, and I'm on Twitter at MikeFineComedy.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. And don't forget to send your questions and your stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.